Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church, Warrensburg, Missouri, where it is our goal to bring people to a genuine and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this podcast will be a blessing and encouragement to you.
As Jason shared, we are doing things a little bit different today, and one of those things is I need a volunteer to join me up here on the stage. Look at all those hands. Wow. Way up there, I see you, Toby. Come on down. You're going to be perfect for this. So as Toby comes down, Hayden's going to come over here. And I'm going to have them both do the same thing here. They're both going to be building a Lego X-Wing set. So you think you can do that, Toby? I think you can, too. I also know Hayden can, because he told me that he built a Lego set on Christmas morning. So you guys are going to sit right here. One on each side here. And you guys are going to both build this Lego set. And as they're doing this task, we're going to talk about some other things, and then we're going to focus back in on them. So we're going to give them a little bit of a head start here as they get going. And I want you to think about things in your day that you really love to do. Things that you really enjoy. And so for everybody in this room, that's going to be a little bit different, all right? We've got some kids here who might be going to school, some kids here who might not be going to school. We've got some moms and dads that might be going to work, might be staying at home. Lots of different things that are going on. But I want you to think about parts of your day that you really enjoy. Like, what's the thing that you do every day, or the action or attitude, whatever it is that you do all the time, that you say, hey, man, when I wake up, I'm so excited for this thing. And I want you to, everybody, stick your hand out in front of you. Everybody has to do it. We'll wait for everyone, right? You know. Stick your hand out in front of you. I want you to imagine you can place that in your hand. What it is that you love to do the most out of every day, every normal day that you have, right? Now go ahead and close your hand around that. I want you to put it somewhere safe. Like, put it in a pocket, put it in your pocket. I got a pocket up here. You might have pockets. You might not have a pocket today. Put it in, maybe in your purse, in a bag, somewhere safe, right? Because you love that thing. You love doing it. You cherish it. You look forward to it. It's a part of you and what you want to do, right? Now take your other hand. I want you to stick that out in front of you. Now, if we're honest, we also have parts of our day that we don't really look forward to, right? Maybe it's at work. It's a certain task that they ask you to do a lot, and they're like, ah, it's not really my favorite thing. Maybe it's at home. Maybe it's doing the dishes or making your bed. It's something you don't really want to do. And I want you to leave your hand open to kind of symbolize that if somebody else could do it for you, you'd really love for them to do it, right? You'd love for them to come, and you'd love for them to do it instead of making you do it, right? Now, I want you to either set that on the pew in front of you or set that beside you, okay? Set that beside you. I saw some people over here, they're passing it off to a brother or somebody else next to them. They already know who's supposed to do this. So you don't want to do those things, right? Because it's just not really a part of who you are. It's not something that you've maybe enjoyed ever doing. It's something that you just wish somebody else would do for you. Now we're going to check back in here with our friends. There was something I didn't share with all of you guys. Hayden knew it from first service and from before, but Toby doesn't know it yet, probably. And you guys don't know it. Hayden doesn't actually have the instructions. So Hayden's just winging it down here. He does have the ability to kind of look back at what he did last service. He didn't do very great last service, but he's not supposed to because he doesn't have the instructions, right? Toby's doing a great job. He's following step by step. His thing's starting to come together. But I want us to think about this type of a situation in our life. Because a lot of the things that we left our hand open for, that we wish somebody else would do, a lot of them are that type of a situation for one of three reasons. Number one, we're just apathetic towards it. We don't really care about it. It doesn't really excite us. We don't really find value in it. Number two, it could be something that we've tried to do in the past and we've just failed at. And because of that negative experience, we want nothing to do with it. Or number three, it could be something that as we've sought to try to do it and as we've gone and stepped out and tried to work through it, that we just didn't really understand what was going on. And because we didn't understand it, we just decided we didn't like it, right? It's like a kid with food that they've never tried, right? They look at it and they say, I don't want that. I don't like that. We have a three-year-old, we like to say, how do you know you've never tried it, right? But it's natural for us to not like things we don't understand, and natural for us to not like things that we haven't received success with. And so maybe you're sitting here thinking, okay, well, I'm not really like Toby. I'm not really like Hayden. I'm not really building Lego sets in my daily life. I feel sorry for you if you're not building Lego sets in your daily life. But maybe you're a dad who had to build a dollhouse, or you've had to build some furniture, or you've had to work through a recipe or something like that. And as you're working through that, you get several steps in and realize you're using the wrong screws, or you doubled the amount of milk you were supposed to use, or you've done something to sabotage what's going on, and you're set trying to fix it, trying to figure out what can I do to make this right. Or maybe you're lucky and you didn't have the instructions, you started just going through it, you got to the end, and you're like, wow, I have a ton of extra pieces, hopefully this thing holds together. Our walk with the Lord can sometimes be like that. Because we don't put the time into seeking Him, into investing in the things that He's given to us, but we have a picture of what it looks like. And we think, hey, I have this picture, I know what it should be like, I'm just going to go for it. And we step out, but we haven't used the instructions, we haven't used the training, we haven't prepared ourselves to be used by Him. And I would say that most of us in this room today want to be used by God, right? We're here at church, you're here at church 2 days after Christmas, right? You're here thinking about Jesus, thinking about God, wanting to be used by Him. But are we preparing ourselves to be used by Him? Are we going through what He has provided for us to allow us to be able to be used by Him? You see, we're going to reflect on three main points today. And so we're going to introduce them right now, and we're going to kind of unpack them in our second session together this morning. But the first thing that we're going to look at is we have to recognize that each one of us is a created being. Each one of us has been created by God. He made us, He formed us, He fashioned us for a purpose. Psalm 103 says this, "Know that the Lord Himself is God. It's He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of our pasture." And so we are complex, and we can see that, and we recognize that, and hopefully we can understand that that points us to a creator. But secondly, that creator has a plan for His creation, and He has a plan for each one of us. Psalms 139:16 says this, "Declare that your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began." And that's something that's crazy for us to think about. But before we were even thought of, before God even created the earth, He had a plan for each one of us, right? And so Hayden has a plan right now to be building this X-Wing. I'm just going to take it while it's two pieces. That really helps me. You know, so his is kind of, it's getting there, right? He was going to put this there. I'll help him out. You know, it's pretty good. It's got two nice little engines on the back. Let's start the picture back up here. Here's what we're trying to build. He's got the picture down here, too. He's got all the pieces, right? Now, Toby over here, he's building according to the plan, which means he's got every detail. He's got a big chunk of the fuselage put together, which is about twice the size as Hayden's fuselage. Hayden's put a lot of time into his wings. His wings are pretty good there. But when we think about the plan for God, it's easy for us to look at the plan for other people or the plan for people in the Bible, right? We've walked through the Exodus generation here Sunday mornings. We've seen, oh yeah, God had a plan for them as He drew them out, as He did all the miracles, provided manna for them, did all those different things. Certainly God had a plan for them, right? But can we see and can we understand and do we know what God's plan for each one of us is? Do we understand what He wants to do with us? Most of us probably don't even know what we're doing for lunch today, let alone what God's plan is for the rest of our life. So what can we do to set ourselves up, to put ourselves in a place that God can use us? And the final thing that we're going to look at is that when the Creator creates and when the creation abides by the plan of the Creator, it satisfies both. It makes it so that the Creator receives joy in the fulfillment of His creation being used for what it was designed for. And the creation receives contentment, understanding that its purpose is being fulfilled. It receives the emotions that God wants it to receive. Okay? Toby's is really getting there. He's pretty close here. But as we think about that, We're going to be looking in Psalm 119 this morning at how the psalmist describes what goes on. And we're going to jump ahead to Psalm 119, verses 73 to 80. Because Psalm 119, it's an acrostic psalm. It's a psalm that each one of the sections has a header. And if you turn there in your Bible right now, as you open your Bible, as you see what is the words laid out before you, some of you guys are going to see some almost like pictures, right? Some of you kids, you look at them, you know, Aleph right there. That's the first thing, the first symbol that's there. This is not something I wrote in my notes, but I always think it's funny. That Aleph right there, if you guys look at that, that little picture, in some ways, that's what a Hebrew character looks like. Okay, that's the way we've written their characters. Now that Aleph signifies that every line in that first section starts with that letter in the Hebrew language. Now you can look in your English language and they all don't start with the same letter. That's because we've translated it and we lose how it was designed. Because this psalm is designed for the hearer, for the reader, to understand, to be able to meditate, to be able to memorize God's word. Because it's really focused, the entirety of this psalm, the longest psalm we have, focused on delighting in the Lord and describing the type of person that delights in the Lord. Now, Hayden's got almost all of his pieces on his X-Wing right now. He does have all four engines in places. It looks like, how many, you got five, six pieces left down there? He's getting there. Toby over here is putting the wings on. He's getting real close. He's getting to the point where he's going to be done. His is really looking like it's supposed to. And that's what we should expect, right? He's using the instructions. Lego makes a lot of money off of designing these toys for us to be able to build, to use for a specific purpose, right? They also make money off of selling things that we can just design our own things with. Because we, as created in the image of God, like to create other things as well. We receive satisfaction creating and fulfilling a purpose of something. So it looks like you got one more little guy to put on there, right? Yeah, and then he's got some extra pieces. So let's take a peek here at these two. Might be hard for you to see, but there's some substantial differences. So like on the back here, in first service I talked about, we have a lot of pilots in our church. It's kind of one of the cool things here. This is designed by the person and built the way it should be. A lot of our pilots would probably get in this if this was a real ship. Hayden's probably not so much, right? It kind of looks similar, but it's just his guess at how to achieve that. And so if we are to, you guys can go ahead and put those back in the boxes there for me. If we're to try to guess at what God wants us to do, we're going to miss the mark. We're not going to be prepared, and we're going to be frustrated. If we're to try to do what God has asked us to do according to his plan and according to his will, we're going to receive that joy and that fulfillment. And we're going to unpack that here in our second session after we sing a couple more songs together. So our band is going to invite you to stand as we prepare to go back before the Lord in worship, and then I'll be back up in a minute for us to unpack these different things. And so as we started in our first part thinking about these three principles that now we're going to unpack a little bit, and we're going to use Psalm 119 to help us with that. And so if you know much about Psalm 119, you do know that it's a massive psalm. We're not going to be able to touch on everything that's there, but it's important for us to know the theme is of that of one who is seeking to delight in the Lord. Because, as we said before, we are able to delight in our Creator when we understand the purpose that He has for us. And so that's something that this psalmist definitely understood. He could echo the songs that we've just sung about not being alone, about understanding that God is with us through all things. Because he knew who God was, and God was real to him in his life. And so, as we think about that, the first thought that we had that we were going to return to was of the loving Creator creating us. And so in Psalm 119, if you skip down to verse 73, it speaks about that in the psalmist's words. He says, "Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding so that I can learn your commands." You see, this psalmist understood that God had a plan for his creation, for his creation of him as an individual. And that shouldn't surprise us when we look all the way back to the creation account that we see in Genesis. If we're to walk back to the beginning of the Bible, we see in Genesis 1 that God created with a purpose. His first day of creation, the first thing he did was he separated the things that have light from darkness. He cast those apart. And in the second day, he separated the waters above from the waters below. He separated clouds, I guess, and the sources of water. But they're still kind of formless, right? And then on the third day, the third item that he creates is the land and the vegetation on that, that separates the waters that are there. And so in these first 3 days of creation, he's created a lot. He's created three different sections of what we know in our world. But there's a lot there that's still missing. And those first 3 days are then filled in on the next 3 days with greater detail. The fourth day of creation, what God does is he forms and fashions the items that control the light with those that we're most familiar with, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And that light then is able to cast out darkness. And where that light is not, darkness is present. And then on the fifth day of creation, he creates the birds in the air and the fish in the sea. And after the fourth day and after the fifth day, he says that those things are good. His creation is being filled in with what he's wanted according to his plan. And then on the sixth day of creation, he creates all the animals and the creepy things on the earth. And he stops at that point and he still says it's good. But we know that there was something else created there on that sixth day that changes his opinion of what's there. And that's man. He puts man as the capstone of his creation. He had built all of these things in his creation. But until man was a part of it, it was not very good. And it's only after he created Adam in his image that he's able to say that his creation is very good. And as he reflects on that and as he rests in that creation, we see the beauty, the love, and the fashioning of God with his hands in creation. And it wasn't just that creation that the psalmist understands, because he says, "Your hands made me and formed me." He understood that God had created him, and then he sought a relationship with him. He says, "Give me understanding so that I can learn your commands." He sees that if there is a creator, his best purpose in life is to be used according to the plan of that creator. Verses 74 through 78 of that same chapter allow us to see that for the psalmist, that included good things, and that included bad things. It included times when his enemies were attacking him, times when he was surrounded by affliction, times at which things were not going well. But those times as well were times when God gave him grace. God poured out his covenant love to him. And in those times when he's experiencing that, he calls those who fear God to look to him. He calls those who seek God to see his life as an example, to see how his response to what God was doing in his life was an option and an offering to him. Because he says, "Look at the response that I have as one who has sought to delight in the Lord. And as you watch my life and what's going on, it should point you back to my God and my Creator." You see, he understood that God had a plan for his life. And so, Sunday mornings here for the last year, we've walked through a lot of what God's plan is for his people. We've seen with the nation of Israel. We've seen, as we walk through the Exodus, as we walk through the minor prophets, we've seen and we understand that God has a plan for changing the hearts of individuals, families, and the nation of Israel. And that's easy for us to understand because we see the accounts. We can look to his word, we can read about it, and we know exactly what he wanted and what he did. But we have hindsight looking back at that to show us how their struggles, their trials were all a part of his plan. But what's difficult for us is to separate that from what we're doing now. And it's natural for us to see that as two different things, but that's not the way that God intended it. Because, as we see from God's word, he doesn't just stop with the people in the Old Testament that he used. In fact, he wants us as individuals, us as families, us as a church family, us as a community, to impact the world for his kingdom. Psalm 119 displays this for us. And it helps us to see how when we're living as God planned, it allows God to receive blessing and glory and allows us to receive joy and contentment. Let's think of it this way. A lot of us have a lot of tools in our homes, right? And if you're like me, the tools only get used from time to time when you need to fix something, when you need to repair something, right? So in our toolbox, we've got lots of different things, a hammer, you know, screwdrivers, tape measures, a saw, wrenches, all sorts of things. Some things we don't even know what they're called. They're in the toolbox for whenever we need them, right? And each of them have a purpose. A purpose of a hammer, right? We use a hammer to strike a nail or to remove a nail. We use a screwdriver to fasten a screw or to unfasten a screw. And as we use those tools for what they've been designed for, we receive joy and contentment as we complete those projects. But at times, we use the wrong tools for the wrong job. And we sometimes have to improvise with what we've got. But it ends up being kind of a frustrating thing, right? Imagine trying to use a saw to put a nail in. It's possible, but it's dangerous, and it's probably very inefficient. In our lives, though, a lot of us end up in a place where we're doing that with what God has done. We're seeking out other things to do with our life rather than what He's equipped us for and rather than what He has designed us for. So rather than being used by the design and the creator, we're doing our own things and we wonder why we don't have fulfillment, why we don't have joy. You see, the purpose of man is summed up well, I believe, by 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21. It says, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making His appeal through us. He pleads with Christ's behalf, 'Be reconciled to God.' He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might be the righteousness of God." You see, when we're saved, we're saved for a purpose of being a part of God's team for redeeming the rest of creation. When we're saved, we're not saved just for ourselves. We're not just said, "Hey, I'm good. I've got my get out of hell free pass. I don't have to do anything else." We're saved, we're equipped, we're empowered to be used by God where He has us. And that's where things get a little bit different, is because where He has you is different than where He has me. What I'm doing is different than everybody else in this room. What you're doing is different than the person next to you. But the call of God on your life, once you've been redeemed by Him, is to be a part of that team for redeeming the rest of His creation. To be empowered by His Spirit, to be filled with His Word, to be full of the Holy Spirit, and to be a messenger for Him wherever He takes you. But, as we began today, sometimes we're not really excited about that. Sometimes it's the items that we had in our left hand that we sat on the pew or to pass out to somebody else. It may not be what we cherish. But why is that? Is that because we're not prepared to be used by Him? Is that because we're apathetic to Him and what He wants us to do? Is that because we've experienced hardship and other things when we've tried to be used by Him? We have to ask those questions, and we have to ask and handle what we can handle and seek what we can do. You know, this week we start a new year. A new year that many of you guys have been excited and ready for since March. Just something new, right? Just something different for 2020 to kind of be gone and to start something new. And in this year, we've got some 8,760 hours or 525,600 minutes that we can use, Lord willing, for whatever is in store for us. Now, the average person is able to read God's Word in about 72 hours. But the average person also says they don't read God's Word because they don't have time. Less than 1% of your time in 2021 could be spent reading the entirety of God's Word. I'm not saying that that's something that all of us have to commit to or all of us should do, but if our excuse is we don't have enough time to seek God's Word, and we don't have enough time to study that, to be filled with it, to meditate on it, to surround our lives with it, then we shouldn't be surprised when we don't receive the fulfillment and the joy that we seek in our life. Because this is God's Word to us. His instructions for edifying, for building us up, for forming us into the men and women He desires us to be. This is how God continuously reveals Himself to our generation. And not only that, but He also gives us our homes. He gives us this church family, the missional small groups that you might be in, the life groups that you're in, the opportunities that you have to be formed and fashioned by God and His people, to be equipped to do His will. And so what my challenge for us to think about is are we preparing in this next year to be used by God? Are we understanding and bowing ourselves before the Creator, knowing that He's uniquely made each one of us? He's given us our own gifts and talents. He's given us our own abilities, our own spiritual gifts. But He's using us all to reflect who He is to a lost world around Him. And He's using us all to encourage the body, to shape and form and serve one another. Are we yielding ourselves to that purpose? Is that something that we're cherishing, that we're keeping close to us? Or is that something that we're hoping that somebody else does in our life? Are we willing to look at God's Word? Are we willing to meditate on it, to saturate our lives with it, so that we can be used by Him? So that we're prepared for whatever comes our way? So that we respond rightly in worship to what He's doing in our lives? It's my prayer that each one of us as an individual and us as a faith body would be submitting ourselves to that this year. Will you all pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for the blessing that it is, that You choose to use us and that You receive glory and we receive joy when we're used by You. We know that by looking at Your Word, You're willing to use anyone willing to be used, that You use shepherds, that You use kings, that You use those people who feel equipped and those people who don't feel equipped, those people who can speak eloquently and those who can't, that You use people with a checkered past, people with sins that have dominated their life, that You break them of those and that You use them and redeem them and restore them and rebuild them to usefulness for Your kingdom. We thank You that You choose to use any of us to be a part of Your kingdom. And as we reflect on that, God, we pray that as we look to how we spend our time, as we look to how we fill and saturate our lives, that Your Word would do that for us, that we would be able to be used by You for Your kingdom. We pray that as we humble ourselves and place ourselves at Your feet, as we seek to learn from Your Word, as we seek to learn from the wisdom that it holds, that You would encourage us, that You would equip us, that You would use us in mighty ways for Your kingdom. We pray for Your blessing upon us as we seek to plan out how we will do that, how our families will do that, how our church will do that, how our life groups will do that, but most important, how each one of us in our hearts will commit to doing that. And we pray that Your blessing of Your Spirit will come alongside us and be what can only bring into our hearts a new love, a true love, and a devotion and a passion to seek to honor You in all we do. We pray for Your blessing upon each one of us. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is intended to be a supplement to your local church and cannot replace your regular involvement there. If you are not currently part of a local church, we would be happy to assist you in finding one. Simply contact us through our website, www.fbcwberg.org.